So, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
And yeah, you just said you are very busy at the moment. You have been to When We Were Young Festival last week in Vegas.
Yeah.
How was that? It looked, on your social media, it looked very cool, like you were having a very good time. How was it?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like one of the coolest festival. It has all our favorite bands playing, all our friends.
Who was playing?
Who was playing? Offspring,
well, Blink 182. The guys are All-Time Low, Boys Like Girls.
Avril Lavigne, Bad Religion, which I got to see, which I love. Yellow Card. I mean, it was just like...
Yellow Card. They're still playing.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It's pretty much like, you know, it really represents this our scene, like our sort of pop punk emo scene. And it's really a fun festival. And it was really great. You get to see all your favorite bands. And there's a lot of people. It's like probably like 70,000, 75,000.
It looked like a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it's massive. So it's cool. It was well worth, you know, flying back and doing it. So yeah, here we are. Now we're back in Europe.
That's good to hear. And you brought the rain here.
It's not too bad out right now. Come on.
No, it's okay. It's
yeah,
okay.
It's
okay.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, just now, just when we arrived, it was like pouring
really?
With rain. Yeah,
no,
but
you missed the double rainbow outside.
Yeah, that's true. So if you have it some time, it's very nice.
I was walking around.
I was walking around all day. It was actually not too cold. It was a nice fall.
You've been to the city?
I think we've might have been before, not like in the city proper, maybe for a festival or something around here, but I don't feel like we had a show in,
yeah,
you know, in
Linz. You know, it's not Vienna, so.
It's like an hour and a half away, right?
Doesn't matter that much. More important is Vienna.
It's charming. I'm really regretting not being able to go for a hike or going skiing even. You know, I saw some skiers on the plane on the way here, and I was like, maybe someday.
We're very lucky we get to see all these places. Like, you know, I don't think if it wasn't for the band, maybe we'd never come here. So you try to go walk around. I went, you know, I walked around last night, try to get a bit of a sense of, you know, obviously you're not going to understand everything just being there for 24 hours.
That's good sometimes that you don't understand everything you're hearing.
Yeah, but you get like a bit of a flavor.
Yeah.
You get a... And I think that's one of the coolest part about being in a band is that you get to see all these cool places, you know?
Regarding the venue, what do you like more? Like these outdoor festivals where it's hot and sunny, or indoor shows where, you know, most of the people come to see this band especially?
I mean, a little bit of both is kind of cool, you know? Like the big festivals are definitely fun. You see bands, you see other bands that you love. The crowds are usually very large, you know, and it's exciting to be in that kind of environment. But it's really cool to have a show where fans are coming to see you and they're very excited and all the lyrics, all the songs, you know. So I like the fact that we're able to do both, you know. It's pretty cool to be able to switch back and forth between all the, you know, all the formats, you know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think like the year is sort of perfect when you look at how you tour, you know, usually... You'll be like in the winter a bit more inside, like, you know, doing, you know, from big clubs to arena style, which is cool. But sometimes they kind of, the arenas end up looking very similar. So
sure,
you don't have a lot of the personality of the venues as much. And then in the summer, you get to go outside and play these huge crowds. And it makes you play differently because when you're playing a festival, you kind of want to prove yourself. You want to, you know, get the crowd into it. You want to...
You're one of the others.
Well, you want to kind of like, it's not really like it's a friendly competition, I think. It's not like, but you definitely want to see like, hey, can we win these people over? Like some people that are here, they might have never seen us live. They might have never even heard of us, but we have 45 minutes, whatever, an hour. Can we make them fall in love with our music and our band? Can we make them like be curious about like when they come home, they be like, hey, that band was really fun. I'm gonna go check them out. So I think it makes you wanna play harder, and it's because when you're headlining, it's your crowd. Sure, you wanna impress your crowd and it's important, but there's something a bit more scary when you're playing a festival because exactly like not everybody's there for you. So it makes you try a bit harder, I think.
I think it's so nice that you have this drive and motivation after all these years that you're saying, yeah, I want to prove myself and I want to do a good show regardless of where you're playing. So I think that's very cool. You're on tour now with The Offspring. And one thing I always like to ask the bands, if they are like co-headliners or support bands, what do you think you can learn from each other? Is there something you can learn from The Offspring, like maybe professionally or personally? And on the other hand, what can they learn from you?
I'm very inspired. Sorry.
That's a fun question. I never had that question before.
I'm very inspired to see them play live. Oh, like anytime you see a great band, there are little elements that you see from the band. You're like, oh, maybe we should pick this up or, you know, make it our own, you know? I'm very inspired by Dexter right now because he's doing the triathlons and he's like staying healthy. He's working really hard. So it's cool to see someone, you know, functioning at a very high level. So he's driven. You were talking about drive. He's very driven, you know, to bring his band to be bigger and to reach more people. We feel the same way. You know, we feel that our band is not nearly where it can be. You know, we have more potential to grow and we want to grow. We want to play more places. So it's inspiring to see that these guys, you know, even after longer than we have been touring, are still very driven and want to do bigger and you know, greater things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's really cool. For me, it's inspiring to see the power of the songs that they have and how much of an impact it had on the whole generation. Like, you're seeing songs like Self Esteem and Come Out and Play and all like that smash album, and even, you know, they have tons of records like that are just iconic. And we've been touring all over the world, and you can see how one song can really kind of cement like a legacy. Like, everybody knows this song, everybody remembers it, everybody knows every word. It's really cool to see how they're using that, and they're kind of like, you know, I don't know, like, they have so many of those. So it's as far as songwriting, it's inspiring. It's like, hey, you're 3 minutes away from creating something that, you know, that can have an impact on so many people. So that's really cool. The other thing that they do really well is they put on a great show, and they really care about every detail. Even like something that I've never seen before, but in between the bands, they have this really cool kind of countdown to their show, and they use kind of like a sports arena style stuff before the show starts. And I think it shows like a lot of care and a lot of like desire to make sure that everybody's entertained for every minute that they're there. Because when people get a babysitter and they, you know, they drive maybe 45 minutes, an hour away, like, you know, and then you make them wait for a half hour just for the next band, it kind of sucks. Instead, those guys build something that's really fun, entertaining and funny. And I think it shows like, not a lot of bands do that, and it shows a lot of respect for like, hey, like, we want you to have the best time. We like, when you come and see us play, like, it has to be fun from, you know, from the beginning to end. So I think having a band, like, they always have great support bands with them. Like, obviously,
I was gonna say, they have such the best great taste,
amazing
support bands, right?
Yeah, but not just us. Like, you know, they're taking Bad Religion on the next leg. They had us and Sum 41 on in the U.S. tour, that Newfound Glory, Jimmy Eat World. Like, it's kind of like, it, I think it shows a respect for the audience. It shows like, hey, we want to put on like a really great show.
That's cool. That's so nice that you can.
I think we want to do that as well when we go on our own headline tours, you know?
That's so cool. Very inspiring. Yeah, so exactly. So that's fine. Just personally, I want to say that what you mentioned with songs that inspired, like, you know, a generation, I think it's with I'm Just a Kid. It's the same with you guys. So no matter where you're playing and who the crowd is, I think everyone has this click feeling then to this song. So I just wanted to say that you have this as well. It's not just The Offspring.
I mean, we've been lucky. We've had songs that had an impact, you know, I'm Just a Kid, Perfect, you know, if you look at
Welcome.
Welcome to My Life, like Summer Paradise in Europe, like that song became, and that was like 10, 15 years into our career. So we've been very lucky. Like, it's like, you can't, I think with time, with like when you have been around for a bit longer, like when you start out, you kind of maybe take those for granted a bit more, and as you get older in your career, you realize how precious that is to have songs like that that have had an impact.
Let's talk a bit about set list when we're already with songs. Is there a song you like to play most, or cannot miss the perfect set list?
Where I Belong is kind of cool. It's a newer song, and it's always fun to play new songs. You know, obviously, Nothing Changes, you know, that we just released with a documentary. Thank you. That's fun because it keeps things exciting, you know. Where I Belong is kind of cool because I feel that it should have been a song that we, you know, it would have been a great song to write, you know, early in our career. I don't think that, you know, it could have happened. You know, we needed more experience, but that song is like really, really, really cool. I love, you know, the featurings that are on that song. It's got a good energy. And it's funny, even if that song is not as known as, you know, Welcome to My Life or Kid, it reacts very strongly. You know, you could see that people are actually feel ownership of the message, you know? So those are cool songs to play.
Yeah, I think I love playing, you know, the newer music because it's exciting for us. We just wrote it. It feels like it's cool to be a band that not only has, you know, a lot of like a good legacy, but also is still, you know, putting out new stuff and still, you know, relevant and everything. So that's cool. But obviously the classics are special too. When you play I'm Just a Kid, when you play Perfect, I think Perfect is one of the ones that really sort of change the whole idea of who this band was and how fans perceived us. Because before that, it was kind of like all, you know, like kind of like irreverent, fun band. And then when Perfect came out, it was a different thing. It was like, oh, okay, like those guys understand me. Like they went through the same things that I went through. There was a, like a deeper, like emotional connection that was created. So when we played live, you see that in the crowd, in the front row. You see people reacting, crying, having really strong emotions. And that's, to me, that kind of, that's the reason why I think we survived those 25 years of being in the band, and that the relationship with the fans that's just only sort of deepened. It's because of a song like that. So it's special to play it.
So nice. I can totally relate from the crowd view. Let's talk a bit about the documentary, about the movie. We watched it together, actually, in my living room. We loved it. Yeah, loved it very much. But it also made us a bit sad and nostalgic, of course, because you realize how many years have passed since we had your posters on our walls. So that's quite some time. And yeah, it was very emotional. I wanted to ask you if how you felt doing the documentary and if there have been any tears.
Actually, it's funny because it was a hard documentary to do because obviously you're letting someone into your life for a full year. It was quite the process. And to me, when I watched, there was a certain moment where like it all kind of stuck together, you know? Like there were moments when I didn't think the documentary was quite there. It was a work in progress, obviously. And at some point, like it really worked. I remember like Chuck was with me on the plane. We were heading to Disney World where we were about to perform. And I saw all the archives, I saw all the moments, you know, that are our lives. You were talking about your posters and everything. Like I was seeing myself grow with the band, you know, I was seeing landmarks of our career, but also personal landmarks. You know, when you make a record, it relates automatically to a certain period of your life. Like I could feel those moments while I was watching the documentary. So I think there's something special about that. It means that emotionally we did something right, you know? So yeah, it was very, very, very emotional. I did shed a tear when I watched that cut. I thought it was very touching, and it was overwhelming for me to see how much, you know, we had done. And also, you know, you could see in a documentary, there are moments of like sort of like tension amongst ourselves, and then, you know, makeups and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a story about friendship and resilience, you know, and that friendship comes across, you know. And to me, that's the most important theme of that documentary.
Yeah, because it's not always perfect, right? No. In every friendship, in every relationship, you have good times and bad times.
Brothers and lovers fight, you know, it's just the way it is, you know, and we are brothers and we, you know, we are friends, we are business partners, we're musical colleagues, like we're very, very different things, you know, depending on the context to each other. But we fight, but we mostly stay together and we tour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, I think Jeff expressed it really well. You know, it's your whole life. I mean, we've devoted, you know, I mean, since I'm 13 years old, I've been passionate about music and this is what I've decided I was gonna do. So, you know, you've invested such a crazy amount of energy, of effort, of time. You've made a lot of sacrifices, you know, to get to where we're at. And, you know, and sort of seeing the movie, it really sort of reflected all that. It makes you think, oh, like, yeah, we were gone a lot. We missed a lot of things. We were not always, you know, with our families when we wanted to be with them, or, you know, and you think about all of that. You think about the path, right? And you think about the harder moments, like Jeff was saying, but also everything you've accomplished and how it made you feel. And you basically have somebody give you a reflection of your life. And because for me, it's my life. I've given everything to that, to the band, and it has brought all the most amazing things in my life comes from the band. So yeah, it's a very interesting experience to have it, to kind of, watch it back. I think I'm really proud of it, and I'm really happy that, that, combined with the book that we made, in 2012, I think we put it out. It's basically it's a way to show people around you that maybe like your kids or your parents or that, supported you, your kids that missed you when you were gone. I think they understand a bit more the purpose, why you did that. And hopefully they understand you better as well through the lens of the movie, because you're kind of telling them your story. So I think it's powerful. It's moving.
I think it's a bit therapeutic as well for you. Sure. And for your families as well. Yeah.
I think so. I hope so. I think one day, when they're a bit, when my son's a bit older, he'll watch it and he'll understand a bit better what we were doing and who we were, And I think that's one of the coolest reasons why we wanted to make that. And also for our fans, we want them to understand a bit better, who we really are as people and what it's really like. And I think that what's interesting is that the reaction that we've gotten so far from fans and from other bands watching it was like, wow, I love the band more than I did before I watched it, which I don't think that was necessarily the goal when we made it, but it's great to hear that because we were really transparent and honest and real and very authentic in the movie. So, it's a good sign that people are saying that. I think they got
absolutely
a lot more emotional than they thought.
Yeah, I think it was the same for us. The song is matching, of course, nothing changes. And that leads me to the question, if you sometimes think, are there any moments where you think maybe it's enough now and we should put an end to it, or does these thoughts never come up?
I mean, the truth is when you tour a lot, for instance this year, it's been a very heavy year. Obviously, I think it would have perfectly ended with when we were young, it would have been perfect, but we had this commitment of coming back to Europe and we're very happy, but physically you're like, wow, I could totally take a break right now. So those are the moments where you'd want a break, but I wouldn't want to end it. If anything, this year I'm more grateful about the fact that we are in a band and we're capable of playing music. It's been many years and this band is bringing so much to us, I'm just trying to balance my personal life with this, professional life the best I can. I don't think we were very successful this year. I think we probably went too far into the professional world, but it's also it's hard to find that balance. It's really, really hard. And it's exciting when things are going well for a band, this is the best period of our career. And it's very rare that a band gets to live that 25 years in. So I feel we all have a sense of urgency. We feel that we have to take advantage of the situation. We have to be present. And it's also fun, So, I mean, physically, I would say that, it's the last year has taken a toll on me. But I still have a month in me. I could still do this.
I think, there's always moments, I think, in anybody's life or professional path where you kind of wonder, what would be like if I did something else, or if we, I think everybody, it crosses your mind. But I think that we work so hard to get to where we're at, and I think one of the things in the song, Nothing Changes, is that there's one thing that hasn't changed, is our commitment and our passion for music and for doing what we do. So I think it's kind of honoring the legacy is to keep going to see how far we can take this thing, so I think that's, we kind of owe it to all, to ourselves, to each other, and to all the work that we've put into this thing to kind of figure out how far can this band go, and and can we reach more people? Can more people discover this band? Can more people, fall in love with the music? So, yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like an ending at all. So I have to ask you if there's some new music in the making, maybe some ideas for the future.
Well, I think new music is always something that we want to keep going. It's very important because, like, I think this band, we want to find the balance between, yeah, we're proud of our past and we want to celebrate it, and we want to, you know, we want to play the songs that people want to hear. I think we're not the kind of, we're people's bands. We cherish the fact that people have grown up with our songs and our music, and they want to hear these songs that were special to them when they were younger. But at the same time, we know, well, for us personally, we want to keep, you know, pushing forward, and we're even more excited about the future of, like, have we written the best Simple Plan song yet? I don't know. Hopefully not. Hopefully the next one is the one where we go, like, oh, this is even closer to the goal of, like, writing the ultimate best version of a Simple Plan song that we can. So every time you sit down, you try again, right? It's like, and the target gets always a bit smaller, but it gets a bit harder as when you have 6-7 records, you know. It's, but just keep trying. So I think that's always there, you know, new music.
We have to find a way to make it. We're perfectionists, you know. We're very hard on ourselves, and we have to find a way to sort of make it a more peaceful thing, you know. Like, peaceful is not the right word, but just less draining, you know. Because records have been very hard historically for us to make. Maybe it is for everybody else, I don't know. Like, I've never been in other bands, well, you know, when I was very young, but so I don't know. But it's hard for us, you know, so we have to find a way to make it, you know, smooth and more enjoyable. And they're fun to make records, but they're hard. So I think by the time we're going to be done with this, we're going to need a bit of a break, and after that, we definitely have to start making music, and we all feel that we want to and we need to.
That's very good to hear. It's a relief to hear as a fan. In phases like now, where you said you're tired, you could use a break physically. How do you hype yourself up, or does it come naturally as soon as you're on the stage?
We're not beat up. We're not like exhausted, you know, to the point of not wanting to go on stage. It's fun getting on stage, and it's whatever you feel, you know, like prior to going on stage. It's crazy how the energy of the crowd just hypes you up and gets you going. And really, like, it's so strange. Nowadays, when I get on stage, I actually see myself as a kid, you know, like in my room practicing guitar, and I was dreaming of all these crowds. So now I think about, like, how grateful I am that it's actually unfolding right in front of my eyes, you know? So when that happens, I'm like, you know what? Sick or not, I was sick on the last tour, and sick or not, you just go in and you give your best and you have fun.
Why do you think it's just now that you have this feeling or this emotions coming up?
It's strange, because I think when you're young and you're in a band, right, like, you almost feel that people owe it to you, you know, to you know, your success is like something that's almost like, sure, you know, it's fine and I deserve it. And after a little while, you're like, shit, I'm very, very lucky to be doing this, and I'm very grateful, you know. And I'm at that phase in my life where I'm like, wow, this is pretty incredible, you know. Like, you're with your friends on stage all around the world, and I'm doing exactly what I was dreaming about. You know, people talk a lot about visualization and stuff like that. We were literally talking about this 25 years ago, literally talking about this, and it happened. Pretty crazy.
Same for you?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could add is for me, it's not so much like being tired physically. I think what's hard is because for me, what's difficult is being away from your loved ones, you know, being away from especially my kid. Like, that's tough, missing special moments and all that. I think that's the one little thing that makes this harder than it used to be, you know, compared, because if I didn't have family, it'd be like, let's go, let's do this 200 days out of the year, I don't care. It's fun, like, travel, play music, meet people, what's not to like? What's difficult is the tension between wanting to be out there doing the band and wanting to also be home and, you know, pick up your kid from school and take him to hockey and all that. That's where the rub is, like, you know, how do you find that balance, you know? And I think that's what makes it sometimes a bit bittersweet, makes you like, oh, I wish I was home, but you also wish you were here, you know? So it's like, it's sort of that. But I think we, you know, we're all, well, luckily, within the band, we're all on the same page on that. We all have kids, we all have families. Everybody's priorities is sort of kind of in the same place where we can all kind of say like, okay, we don't want to be gone too much, but we also care very much about this band. And so it's just finding that right balance between the two, you know?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Don't worry.
It's all right.
I don't know
no worries. Me neither. Okay, a complete change of topic. If you have any time privately to listen to some music, what do you listen to privately?
That's interesting. I listen to extremes, actually. I listen to like super chill music, Hermanos Gutierrez, like super like, you know, trippy music. And then Kruang Bin, like, and then I'll listen to pretty heavy stuff, Mastodon, you know, when I work out or when I run. When I run, I have a tendency to listen to pretty heavy music. I love Bring Me the Horizon. I love, you know, even like bands, you know, the new Yellow Card was in my, I was going to say no, Walkman. No, it was in my ears. It was in my phone last week. So yeah, I just listen to whatever, you know, people tell me about, you know, and it's always cool to hear new music, but I also like gravitate towards classics as well, you know. So I have a very big vinyl collection, so I listen to a lot of very varied stuff.
I don't listen to a lot of music. When I'm at home, I listen to I like to have just silence in the car, just thinking, listen to some podcasts once in a while. But when I do gravitate to music, it will be some old school stuff from my teenage years that I love when I was growing up, you know, like Bad Religion and Lagwagon, NoFX, like Blink, like, you know, and all these bands that shaped the DNA of who I am. That's what feels comfortable. And then I try to obviously kind of keep up with what's new, you know, like listening to new bands that are just coming up and kind of seeing, okay, where's this sound going? And it's interesting because you see that a lot of the younger bands are inspired by the early 2000s kind of sound that we've been doing, or Blink and Green Day before us and Offspring, but they put their own twist on it and they sort of reinvent it. So in a way, in a weird feedback loop that influences the bands that influence them, because they're like, oh, okay, this is how they are reinterpreting it, you know, this is how they're reimagining the sound that we help create. And then it, you know, it pushes you to, like, when you write your own music, to kind of, you know, try to modernize it and make it interesting. So that's what I kind of like. I go back between what I really know and I'm really, really comfortable with, and then what's a bit more strange and new, and a new twist on it, and see what people do. And then whatever my son wants to play in the car.
No kidding, I wanted to ask you. I had two follow-up questions. One was regarding new music, and the other one was how old your son is and what you listen to in the car. And are there any moments like, don't you want to listen to some Simple Plan songs?
He loves Simple Plan. He's 10 years old, and we're sometimes playing too much Simple Plan, because when I'm off, it's like, I can never forget the song. That's what's great. I come back on tour and I've heard them all the time, so it's really there. He's still in his phase where he's a huge fan. But he also is discovering other stuff, like his own, you know, little things that he's discovering, what his friends are listening to.
Hip-hop, you know. Is he telling his friends that his dad is in Simple Plan, and does he brag with this?
Maybe, but I think maybe a little bit. But I think that honestly, in general, when I'm with him, I think as a band, keep it pretty low key. We don't really like to talk about it, so we're very discreet about all that kind of stuff. So I think he's learned from that. Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you, because you both said you also tried to listen to some new stuff. We're a rock station here in Austria, and it's very interesting because we try, you know, it's very difficult to get the right balance from classics and like 80s sound to 2000 sound and new stuff. And no offense, but for us, the old stuff in the meantime is the Offspring, Blink 182, all these 2000 songs. And then there is this new stuff, which is like metalcore. I don't know. Iceland Kills, Motionless in White, Bad Omens, Sleep Talking, Woodstoken. What do you think about these bands, if you know any about them?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to all that stuff for sure. You know, it's very guitar driven, so as a guitar player, it's inspiring. Some of these kids are playing like Man, you know, they're very, very good. it's fun. But obviously, you know, we come from a scene. You were talking about the 2000s. You know, we come from a certain scene, the Warped Tour scene. So I'm also very interested to see, as Chuck was saying, you know, like, what are bands, how are they revamping that style? How are people, like, pushing the boundaries? And it's cool to hear that, you know, we are your classic rock, we are your classics, you know. I think it's great, you know, and that's probably why there's sort of a resurgence, there's sort of a renaissance of the genre right now. I don't know, it's just all very positive and good for these bands, you know, that are pushing the boundaries and you know, doing crazier things, you know, being ambitious with music, with their live shows. I find it very cool, very inspiring.
Yeah, I think so too. It's very nice. You know, nowadays, it's like, okay, a bit of, let's play a song from The Offspring or Blink or Simple Plan. It was like in the 2000 maybe or 90s, you said, okay, a little Bon Jovi or Aerosmith didn't hurt nobody. And look how long they stayed. So as you said, I think that's a very good thing to be the basic, right?
What's really cool is when you hear bands like Green Day and Offspring and Blink and sort of all the even, you know, Sum 41, All American Rejects and... the music, at least maybe to my ears, and maybe if you ask somebody who's 17 or 15, they're gonna disagree, but there is something timeless about the sound. It could have come out last month, some of these songs, and they would have, you know, they would have fitted perfectly. They would have sounded like they were still current and relevant. So I think there's something about this style of music that doesn't sound dated the way that maybe after Nirvana, like all the hair metal band sounded like, okay, like we don't want to hear that anymore. That's like that sounds completely like of a different era or different generation, or even just, yeah, I don't know, I don't feel like that stigma has attached to this sound, to this scene. And I think it's because the song has always been very honest and always based on very like memorable, catchy melodies and lots of energy. The energy, I think, is why somebody who's 15 or 16 or 17 gravitate towards this kind of music. That why you see people at the Offspring show and they're like 15 years old and they got the Offspring shirts on, or at Blink at when we were young, you see all these the parents bringing their kids and the kids being super fans. It's because you can just feel there's an energy that maybe is not as present in like today's music or whatever new artists. You know, I don't know, I think there's something special about it.
Very nice. Lastly, I would like to play a little game with you, if you're up to it. I very much like to play with the bands if they, you know, can guess their own lyrics, or how good do you know your own lyrics. In this case, you're not the singer, obviously, of the band, so I don't know, are you? What would you say, how is your level of security regarding lyrics of Simple Plan?
We do play a lot of shows, so I think we'll be all right.
But do you listen, actually?
Absolutely.
Yeah, lyrics are really important. I think that's something that we talk about a lot in songwriting, and, you know, when we sit down and write a song, and, you know, you can have all, like, amazing melodies, and it's great, but until it's kind of solidified with a special lyric that, you know, connects with the emotion and whatever, it's just little melodies, it's not a song yet, you know? So once you anchor that with real words, it really takes a different life, you know? So sure, like you can, you know, I think melodies is what people hear first and feel first, but I think the words is what really cements the relationship with the song, you know?
Okay, so let's try it. I have an easy one and then, I don't know, maybe a bit more difficult. So I give you three words in English from a song, and let's see if you know it, and if not, I have a last word, which I know, I think will be easy. So, room, screaming, and dark.
It's from the new record, I would say, probably.
Room, screaming, and... Oh, it's probably from Welcome to My Life, no?
Not just probably, it is
okay.
Actually.
Okay,
nice.
Good. Very good.
Very nice.
That was the easy one.
It's quick. That was the easy one. of course you did. and the second one is actually my favorite Simple Plan song, so I'm very, yeah, excited. No, I'm not that simple. So it's Kiss, Stories, and Sorry.
Sorry and Stories, huh? And yeah. Kiss.
I was just watching. No, it's Can't Keep. No?
No.
God, I really don't know.
Can we get one more clue?
If I tell you the last word, I think it's too simple. So I say it's from the record, which is mainly black.
Okay.
On the third album, self-titled. Yeah.
Running the songs in my head.
No Love?
No.
Oh, wow. I don't know, you got us.
Tell us.
It's on your set list. It was on your set list.
Ah, Your Love is a Lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, maybe.
But you wasn't sure, yeah.
Okay, you like that one.
Yeah, that's actually my song, which you mentioned before. When people started to have this emotional connection to Simple Plan, that was the song for me, actually. Nice. Because, you know, of course it was like, sad crying over some boy I don't even remember, like, right. We're 13 years old and then this song came up and I was like, it's the best song ever, and actually it stayed this way for over 20
it's
years
funny
now.
How that record, you know, it was not necessarily our most popular record, but I think a lot of people connected very deeply with that record.